You're listening to Halford and Brough.
Old reliable Brough. He's always thinking about the Canucks. He always has takes on this sort of things. He always has opinions. While old Halford will just grow his hair long, wear hats, and not say anything controversial, and then he'll go home and have a nap. That's good old Mike Halford.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Wow.
Yep. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win.
Just took it to my veins!
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Oh, man! Lean into it!
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a holiday Monday. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Nephew Dom and his Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How was everybody's weekend, first and foremost?
Lovely, very relaxing.
Okay. It's a delightful Easter, yeah.
Good.
Played golf on Friday, played golf on Saturday.
Look at you.
Ate chocolate Sunday.
Very nice.
Was that the country club that you're subscribed to?
That's correct, yeah. It's Cypress Point. I don't know. I fly down.
Living that charmed life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a lot to get into on this show on a Monday in which a lot of people aren't going to work and aren't going to school, but still, at least according to our poll question, are engaged, live, and interactive with the show. So we love it. That is good. A reminder, if you...
Unfortunately, the poll question is, should the Canucks even try to play another game this season?
Yeah.
And most of you are saying no.
That is our poll question for today. A reminder, you can check it out at Sportsnet 650 on Twitter. If you want to get a hold of us at the program, we are here until 9 o'clock on a holiday Monday. 650, 650. It's the Dunbar Lumber text line. The smart alternative. Visit Dunbar. Smalt. I said smalt.
Yeah, you're not sharp this morning, are you?
Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver or online at Dunbar Lumber. Not Dunbar Lumbar. DunbarLumber.com. Okay, let's tell everyone what's coming up on the program today. We have a lot of guests. 3-hour show. 4 guests. 4. You don't seem as excited as I do.
I'm interested, very interested in one of them.
Okay, we'll start with Jack Ferris, host of the Believe in Zags podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, which he hosts with local boy, former NBA or former Gonzaga Bulldog, Rob Sacre. So this one should be good. I don't know how many of you in listener land watched the game on Saturday, but maybe one of the greatest games in Final Four history.
Yep. No, not maybe. It was.
Maybe the greatest shot in college basketball history. There's already like 18 think pieces out there that are comparing it with the Leitner shot.
Yeah.
Because remember, the Leitner shot got Duke into the Final Four. This shot got Gonzaga into the national title game and kept the perfect season alive.
Right after UCLA had tied it up.
Right.
And UCLA hung in there, and full credit to them. But the Zags tonight against Baylor will go for the first perfect season since 1976. This is also a Gonzaga program that has gone from no one knows who they were to Cinderella status to all of a sudden they are a college basketball powerhouse. And, oh, yeah, along the way, a lot of Canadians have played for this team. So I think there's going to be a lot of Canadians, especially those in BC, cheering for the Zags tonight against Baylor to go perfect and win an NCAA title.
Jack Ferris is a former Gonzaga graduate. He was there during the Kelly Olynyk and Rob Sacre era. So we'll talk to Jack, host of the Believe in Zags podcast, at 6:30. At 7, Canucks play-by-play radio man Brendan Batchelor will get into all the latest from the Canucks as they continue to battle this team-wide COVID outbreak, which we will try and get as many updates for you as we can throughout the show. We'll have Batch on at 7. Kevin Bieksa is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk Canucks with Bieksa, but we'll also go around the Scotia Division, around the NHL as well. 8:30, is this the guest you were talking about?
Yeah.
UBC epidemiologist Daniel Coombs is going to join us. So his particular expertise is in mathematical models of pandemic growth and control, which of course is very timely because the Canucks are dealing with the very aggressive transmission of the Brazil variant of COVID-19, which I believe has now got up to 16 players now on the NHL's COVID-19 protocol list and 3 members of the coaching staff.
It's a real race here in Canada and in BC against this variant to get everyone vaccinated. And it's been a slow go so far, at least when you compare to other countries around the world. Have most of the NHLers in the States been vaccinated by now, do you think?
It sounds like there's a pretty large percentage that has. Like more than I thought would have at this point.
And
Not for any particular reason. It's just...
And I would assume that none have been vaccinated in Canada.
How many? Could you imagine? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot.
How would they have got it?
Right. And you look at a lot of the teams. Dallas had a situation yesterday, which we'll get into in what happened. And they acknowledged it. A lot of their coaches and players had already been vaccinated. So there's sort of the anecdotal evidence that it has gone on. But yeah, we'll ask Daniel Coombs coming up at 8:30 about that, about the spread. We've got a bunch of audio as well to play. There's a lot of information out there right now. And I guess we should probably stress before we get into what happened. We're just going to pass along the information from outlets and reporters that we acknowledge and respect and have used in the past, many of whom have differing sort of takes and reports and anecdotes and stories from the Canucks. Of course, I'm talking about on Sunday, Ben Kuzma of the Province and Darren Dreger of TSN. I guess you could call them conflicting reports about the severity of the team-wide outbreak.
Barely conflicting. I mean, if you put it this way, if you're one of these people that loves to waste their time arguing on Twitter,
it's a very good point.
I guess there's stuff there for you, but isn't the bottom line that the Canucks have a pretty serious outbreak and some guys aren't feeling too well?
Right. And I think it becomes one of those things where it's like people are trying to get as much information as they can about a situation which a lot of people are interested in and concerned about.
And different versions sometimes come out because maybe one guy will be like, man, I feel terrible. I'm super dehydrated. And then right at the end we'll be like, but look, it's not too bad. I'll get through this.
Sure.
So which one do you report? So someone might say, these guys feel super terrible. It's tough. And then people are like, wow, that sounds serious. And then but another person might take the part at the end where like, but you know what, we'll get through this. I'm not overly worried or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then that's how that gets out. But it's just such a waste. I didn't spend too much time on Twitter this weekend because I was trying to enjoy life. But I looked on a few times and I was like, these people are arguing over this stuff. It's just so – and of course, they're all in their tribes.
Yep.
Right? Like, so certain tribes that have been downplaying COVID forever – we'll be like, see, it's not that serious. And then the other people that think that everything in life now is now terrifying are like the opposite to those guys. And then they argue, while hopefully most of you don't waste your time in that, because the facts are that the Canucks have a serious COVID outbreak. Sure. If you look at the major league sports, the 4 major leagues in North America, theirs is up there.
That's right up there with the Dallas Stars at the beginning of the year. Had 17 players.
And the reality is that right now, the Canucks have a number of players, coaches, that are feeling pretty rough because of this COVID outbreak. And the Brazil variant is believed to be part of this. And the Brazil variant is a very contagious variant. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk to a number of people today about this. And we're trying to get a handle on when the Canucks, or if the Canucks, might play another game this season. The NHL seems to have maintained that they still want them to play a full season. I'm looking at the schedule and going, unless they have doubleheaders, I don't know how that's going to be possible. And also, what kind of team, let's say they target a first game back in a few weeks, because they will have to be back in 2 or 3 weeks if they want to finish the season without going well into May when the first round of the playoffs are supposed to start. Mm-hmm. What kind of team is going to be playing? Because you have to remember also that you can't just be like, all right, you got a negative test. You are now cured of the coronavirus. Go play a hockey game tonight.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Do you think they're going to be in great shape then? So listen, we'll talk to a number of people, play you a bunch of audio clips about this. Try to have some fun along the way. It's not going to be all COVID. We'll also talk some Gonzaga basketball. But what happened over the weekend, Dom? This is what we're going to get into now.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it? You missed that?
What happened?
So you heard it off the top. I'm sure you've heard it in the updates, and I'm sure you've been reading about it or listening to it all weekend. The Canucks have suffered one of the largest COVID outbreaks in North American pro sports. I'm not trying to stack up one against the other or put any records in the books here, but the Canucks are currently at 16.
Who's number one?
Right. I didn't want to go down that road. 6:10 in the morning, we're ranking the COVID teams. No, the Canucks have 16 players and three coaches currently in the NHL's COVID-19 protocol. Dallas at the beginning of the year got up to 17. But two things to note there. One, Dallas's started in training camp and then carried over to the regular season. So it wasn't just a regular season affliction. And two, they weren't dealing with the Brazil variant that the Canucks are. We've got a bunch of Elliot Friedman audio here from his hit last night on TV, on Sportsnet, talking about sort of the past, the present, and the future. So, Dom, why don't you walk us through it here? What do we have first from Friedge as he was on with Connected yesterday?
So, essentially, he was asked, what happened? How did we get to this point where the Canucks are now 16 players deep?
Well, basically, Eric, there's not only the players that are on the list, but there's also three members of the coaching staff who's been affected and a couple members of the taxi squad. And basically what the NHL decided to do as of the weekend was say, we're going to act as if everybody is going to be affected, whether or not they actually do test positive for COVID-19 or not. We're going to act as if everybody has been affected or is a close contact. So basically, the team was supposed to practice again as soon as Tuesday and play as soon as Thursday. That's not going to be happening. Now, the league hasn't said when the Canucks will return to play. The hope is that they will, but I don't think it should be surprising anybody if it's 2 weeks from now until we see them. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be 2 weeks, but don't be surprised if it's something along that lines. I think right now we're going to see no activity there until at least there have been a few days without any new positive COVID tests, until we know about the recovery of the players. As is usual with COVID, it affects certain people more than it affects others. Some of the individuals have had no symptoms. Some of them have had their bodies go through a bit.
So it is April 5th today. Mm-hmm. The Canucks season is supposed to end on May 8th. So a month and 3 days.
Right.
They got 19 games left, folks.
Right.
19 games left. You heard Elliot say they might not be back in action for a couple weeks, and then it depends on the state of the players, the condition of the players. Let's say we get to mid-April, and the Canucks have had, they've already had 4 games postponed. Let's say they have 6 more postponed.
Mm-hmm.
What, are they going to play 19 games in 3 weeks?
I think there's a
I don't think so.
I think there's a very real outlook here where you have to acknowledge that they're not going to get to 56 games played. We've got another clip from Elliot here talking about exactly that and kind of tying back into our poll question. If shutting it down mm-hmm. is in the cards, here's Elliot Friedman on what the future has in store for the Vancouver Canucks.
I think it's kind of hard to see a full 56 for Vancouver right now, Eric, but I don't like to guess. And I'm just going to wait to let it play out and see what happens. And hopefully all of these Canuck players make full recoveries.
So just for the record, if you're new to the Halford and Brough show, on our old station, we would have this conversation a lot. And one of the things that Mike and I would always try and emphasize is that in COVID times, you can't just say, shut it all down. It's just not realistic. You do have to be a problem solver. I remember there was a lot of people that thought the NHL was being very irresponsible with putting the bubble on in Edmonton and having the playoffs. The bubble was in Toronto as well. And they thought that that was irresponsible, and yet the bubble went off without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at the time, you know, people were lauding the NHL. Like, wow, you know what? You did it safely. You had a bunch of problems and you solved those problems. And we've all had to be problem solvers during mm-hmm. this, while also maintaining that health and safety is the priority. So we're not, why I say that is just, we're not one of these people or one of these shows that's just going to be like, shut everything down. And like, how can you possibly even think about playing hockey games during this time? Mm-hmm. But there reaches a point sometimes when you go, all right, is it worth it to play these games? Yeah. Is it really worth it? The Canucks are not particularly close to a playoff spot right now. There is just over a month left in their season, and you're sitting there going, okay, what's really, really the point mm-hmm. of trying to come back for the final three games of the season when you would have to pack their schedule, risk injuries because of that for a team that isn't going to make the playoffs? And oh, by the way, the only real thing at stake in the North Division, I would say, of the four teams that are currently in a playoff spot is seedings. Mm-hmm. And where home ice advantage doesn't really matter anyway, because you're not going to have fans in the stands. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, I know. I think you just have to balance it out. I think all these conversations are probably happening right now and are going to happen over the next week because, as Friedge alluded to in the clip, the planning is all really short term right now. Like right now, the goal is give it two or three days, see how everyone responds to the virus, see if there's any further positive tests. And then once that's done, then you start looking at, okay, we've missed X amount of days because of this and X amount of games. There's a 0% chance that the Canucks are going to be back playing on Thursday, which was the original assessment. They were going to miss Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday. They'd be back in action on Thursday against Calgary. That's obviously not going to happen. So what you look at now is, okay, if this week is wiped out, we start looking at the next week. How many games do we have there? If you're going to miss another 3 to 4 games, suddenly the numbers start to get overwhelming where you're trying to make up 6, 7 at the end of the season, condensing them in. Are you going to expand the end of the regular season to the point where you would probably delay the start of the playoffs for the North Division? All these questions come to the table. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that today, Monday, April 5th, you have no answers to any of this. It's all speculation. You're trying to get as much information as you can, but the reality is you don't know what this is going to look like 48 hours from now.
So a lot of young people out there, and sometimes I include myself among the young people.
I shouldn't.
But I'm not elderly. Mm-hmm. A lot of young people, as we've been dealing with COVID for over a year now, have been of the attitude that I'm not particularly worried about getting COVID myself. What I'm worried about is passing it on to someone who it might cause some real damage to, either grandparents or someone whose health isn't great. Mm-hmm. As you know, my dad's a retired GP, family doctor, mm-hmm. and he texted me a few days ago, actually about a week ago, and he said, just so you know, this new variant out there, like, be careful, mm-hmm. because it's affecting more young people now. And he wasn't dire about it.
Right.
It wasn't one of these things like, don't go outside. He just said, hey, just be careful. This variant is a little more dangerous. And I'm talking about the Brazil variant mm-hmm. That has reportedly infected the Canucks. And I don't know how much our epidemiologist is going to know specifically about the long-term health of this, mm-hmm. as opposed to how quickly it spreads and what can be done and maybe what mm-hmm. the Canucks... the name of our...
Daniel Coombs.
Daniel Coombs from UBC. You know, he's not a medical doctor.
Right.
Right? A lot of his training is in stats, but Bonnie Henry is a doctor, and this is what she had to say about the Brazil variant.
So what we're not seeing an increase proportion of younger people who are hospitalized. So it's about the same as what we're seeing for all of the other, for ever any virus, about 5%. If anything, it's a little less of people who have a variant case who are hospitalized. But because we are seeing an increase cases in younger people, the numbers of younger people in hospital have gone up. And that means that the numbers, younger people are thankfully more likely to survive. So we know the length of stay is longer, and they more often are needing ICU care. So the percentage of younger people who are in ICU has gone up.
Okay, I want to move on real quick to the Gonzaga story because we've got Jack Ferris coming up in about 10 minutes' time. He is the co-host of the Believe in Zags podcast with Rob Sacre, North Van guy, obviously played in the NBA and played at Gonzaga. On Saturday night, Gonzaga, UCLA, an amazing story going in. You've got the undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs against a plucky 11 seed from UCLA that had to play their way into the tournament via the play-in game. It goes down to the wire. It's in overtime. Johnny Juzang hits a lay-in to tie the game, 3.3 seconds left, and that left it for Jalen Suggs to be perfect.
To the right side of the floor, defended by Kispert now, drives, leans in, the runner, comes up short, Juzang though rebounds and puts it in. We're tied at 90, 3 seconds left. Here's Suggs the other way, pull up, three for the win!
Yes! Yes!
Set yes! of the championship game! He knocked it from 40 at the buzzer!
Yes!
The Bulldogs!
Wow!
Play for a national championship!
So it's interesting because we've talked about March Madness quite a bit on the show, and you've kind of been, Bruff, like tuned in and out. You're like, I've been, you know, casually paying attention.
Yeah, I didn't have a bracket this year for the first time in a while, so I was less interested from a gambling perspective.
Dom, have you been dialed in or have you been a casual observer?
Casual observer
yeah,
this year.
I think a lot of people have because, like anything during COVID times, the season was really disrupted. There was a lot of teams that played like 22 games, and then you got a team like Gonzaga that played upwards of 30. So there was a lot of different things happening that kind of had people tuning out. But it's crazy because right now, I don't remember this much excitement and this much anticipation and this much hype for a national title game in an awfully long time.
Really?
Yeah, these are considered the two best teams in college basketball and not especially close. The fact that they were able to get through the bracket and face each other going in is great. And to be honest,
well, I think that game versus UCLA is just going to add more to it because they've got the perfect season on the line and they pull off a shot like that. By the way, how did UCLA lose 9 games before they entered the tournament?
They just played really inconsistent basketball and they had problems scoring at times.
No, I know, but okay, I'm not asking for your like college basketball.
You went very literal there.
Well, they did. No, but they did. I watched them play.
Well, actually, you know, they had
problems scoring the basketball.
They had some depth problems.
Yeah, they did. They had injury problems.
Okay, well, they lost to Wazoo.
Yeah. They,
you know?
Well, you know why.
They lost to some bad teams.
If you want to extrapolate this out.
They got pumped by USC.
I think the Pac-12 was a lot better than people thought it was in the end. Because remember, look at all the teams that had good runs in March, right? Both Oregon schools and both California schools. Sorry, both Los Angeles schools.
Yeah,
I should say, made great runs in the tournament, right? And I remember reading going into the year, everyone picked the Pac-12 to be the worst, absolute worst conference of the major power conferences in college basketball. So they kind of turned that around. Zags are 4.5-point favorites tonight against Baylor. These two teams were actually supposed to play each other in December in Indianapolis, where they're going to be playing tonight. But that game got postponed because of a positive COVID-19 test. So the precursor to what everyone thought was going to be the title game was supposed to be months ago. So that adds some intrigue as well, as you don't have that first game, that litmus test to see like, well, this is how they matched up the first time. This is how they stacked up. I am very excited for this game.
How many guys on the Zags could go in the first round of the NBA draft?
I
think Suggs might draw some interest.
He's Terrell Suggs' cousin or nephew. I can't remember which one. But apparently the athleticism runs in the family because Jalen Suggs is also a terrific football player. So Suggs, Kispert, and I can't remember who the third one was. I think I saw some draft boards that had Timmy going in the first round. He had the fantastic mustache.
Right.
That game on Saturday was awesome because there was about 7 or 8 unreal individual performances. Like you tweeted out, Tiger Campbell is my new favorite basketball player. He's awesome.
How much do you think his hair weighs?
A lot. It's the most ambitious hair in college basketball.
Right.
He's great. I really like watching him play. He's a lot of fun to watch. So this game tonight, very excited about it. Again, a reminder, the Zags are 4.5-point favorites. And coming up next, we've got Jack Ferris, co-host of the Believe in Zags podcast, along with Rob Sacre. Jack will join us to talk about Saturday's crazy game and then look ahead to tonight's national title game, 6 o'clock against Baylor. We got a lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Halford. It's Bruff. It's Sportsnet 650.
That was one of the most special games I've ever been a part of, you know, in any sport. And, man, it was crazy. This is one I know I'm going to look back on, you know, in a while and just, you know, rewatch.
That was the hero of Gonzaga's Final Four victory on Saturday night against the UCLA Bruins, Jalen Suggs. He and the Zags will be going for their first ever national title tonight at 6 o'clock against Baylor. They are also looking to become the first undefeated team in men's college basketball since Indiana did it in 1976. They're the last team to take an undefeated record into the final since Larry Bird and Indiana State did it in 1979. They obviously eventually lost to Magic Johnson.
Was that a famous game?
Somewhat. Now, I can't say that tonight's game is going to be on par with that. You know, one of the most iconic games, not just in college basketball, but all of basketball and all of sports.
Featuring two of the most iconic players on opposite teams.
But this is...
kind of defined a generation of basketball.
Aside from all that stuff, this is a very, very tantalizing matchup. These are the two best teams in college basketball. Go back to last year's canceled March Madness. These were two of the teams that thought they were probably going to win it all. They were supposed to play in December. It got postponed due to COVID-19, and now we're back in April, and they're at it again. Do we have Jack on the line now? Let's go to the phone lines, joined by Jack Ferris, co-host of the Believe in Zags podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Boys, I apologize ahead of time if I sound a little hoarse. I feel like I've been yelling for 48 straight hours. I'm in Indianapolis, and I'm euphoric. To answer your question, that's how I am.
I would imagine. Like, we were talking about this in our opening segment, and we're already stacking it up against some of the greatest college basketball games to ever be played in this tournament. And I mean, I'm sure you've been on the old internet over the last 48 hours. There's about 18 different think pieces comparing it to the Christian Laettner shot. I mean, that's what Jalen Suggs did on Saturday night. I can't imagine how wild it must have been to be there for that, but also how strange it was because we're doing this in front of limited crowds and social distancing. I believe there was only 8,000 people in the building on Saturday.
There was only 8,000 people, and I'll tell you what. It was my first sporting event in the last 14 months or so, and I could probably say the same thing for a lot of people in that gym.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity, I mean, you could probably feel it on TV. There might as well have been 90,000 people in there. Mm-hmm. For how it felt, how intense it was, every possession we were living and dying. A lot of times in the moment, you don't really realize how special it was. I think everyone in the gym realized that we were watching a classic. I can't say enough about the UCLA fans because every run-in I had was contentious for a long time, and then we were pretty much hugging safely. But yeah, to your point, I do think it's our generation's Christian Laettner game. I mean, it had to be, right? I mean, how old were we when Christian Laettner hit that shot? I was probably 5. I wasn't watching college basketball. But I do think that's what we needed in the sport. We needed that one game where everyone was like, where were you? And hopefully this is the game, the where were you game for years and years to come.
Had the Zags played a close game to that point in their season, I'm just looking. I know. I think the spread was something like 14, wasn't it? And UCLA, man, they were game for that one. Did you expect that tight a contest against a Bruins team that was a number 11 seed and came out of a Pac-12 conference that did well at the tournament but wasn't getting a ton of respect nationwide?
Short answer, no. I had the minus 14. I gave up the 14. You know, credit to Mick Cronin. Unbelievable performance by the UCLA Bruins. Our previous close game was West Virginia back in November. Of course, you hear the stats a million times. Mm-hmm. That's the only other game where we didn't win by double digits. Jalen Suggs, I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you guys were watching that one. It looked like he tore his Achilles during that game.
That's
it was
right.
The scariest moment of the year. He went down. It was, you could feel the energy just sucked out of the building. He came back and played the second half, fortunately. But, West Virginia punched us in the mouth, and we were able to come back. Did I expect it to be close? No, I don't think anyone in America expected it to be close. In fact, if you handed me the scores without the teams on them, I would say that the blowout would have been us versus UCLA, certainly not Baylor over Houston. I will tell you this, a lot of Baylor fans, and rightfully so, were pretty confident after watching that game, thinking if Gonzaga struggled so mightily with UCLA, that it's going to be a tough showing against Baylor. But I don't think you can transfer property that way, especially in college basketball. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a different ball game. And, our guards are phenomenal. Baylor's guards are unbelievable. It's going to be a whole different matchup. And I think the difference is our bigs with Drew Timmy.
Before we get into the ins and outs of the Baylor game, can you give us kind of a quick history of Gonzaga basketball? Because since I've been watching the tournament as an adult, so for the last 20 years, I guess, they've gone from this team that was sometimes a Cinderella in the tournament. You'd be like, oh yeah, don't forget about Gonzaga. They can be dangerous in the tournament. And to the point where they're now a college basketball powerhouse where they get the top recruits. It's not like they have to form these guys that were all overlooked by the big schools and they're like, all right, we're going to pull this team together and somehow be successful. They get really good players now. And Gonzaga may not have the history of schools like Kansas and Kentucky and Duke, but they are one of the preeminent college schools now. How did they do with it? When did they go from just this team that would occasionally have some Cinderella runs into this powerhouse that is on the verge of having a perfect season, the first perfect season since the famous Bobby Knight Indiana squad in 1976?
It's a good question, and it's one I've thought about for a long time. And this is going to sound like I'm playing to my audience, but it's true. So for 10 years, like you said, we were a really good story. We'd get in as like a, 8 seed, 11 seed, whatever, make a run at the Sweet 16, and everyone was like, told you so. You'd be the smart guy at the office if you had Gonzaga advancing to the second weekend. We made the jump from good program to elite program. I truly believe this. Through Canadians like Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Pangos. Mm-hmm. That's when the program went from, running over the WCC to scheduling games with Duke and North Carolina home and home. Like, that was unheard of 10 years ago. North Carolina played in Spokane, Washington last year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's unheard of 10 mm-hmm. years ago. But now it's a good game for them. We have Duke scheduled in Vegas come November. But no, when Kelly Olynyk grew like 6 inches his sophomore year, going into junior year when he redshirted, and he had ball skills like a guard, and he was a 7-footer. And then Kevin Pangos, who flew under everyone's radar, no major program looked at him. He comes to Spokane, and the two of them really elevated the program, and we haven't looked back since. We haven't missed a Sweet 16 since 2014. 2014 was the last time we weren't at the second weekend. And it's just a winner's mentality. And if you're around the program, if you're around the guys, if you're around Coach Few and his staff, it's you can feel it. It's like you can smell it on them. It's just they carry themselves differently. But yeah, that 2013 team, when we were the first one seed, we lost a heartbreaker to Wichita State. It would have been easy to regress back to the mean. It would have been easy to go back to that, just Wichita State, like decent mid-major team that makes noise. But no, they turned a corner, and it's been full steam ahead ever since.
We're speaking to Jack Ferris, co-host of the Believe in Zags podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, along with another Canadian that went to Gonzaga, North Vancouver's Rob Sacre. And you keep saying we here, Jack, and you come by that honestly because you went to Gonzaga. You graduated about a decade ago. So you were there for some of these great teams, including the ones that had Sacre and Olenek and everything. We've tried to explain to our listeners that have never been down to the campus on Spokane what it's like. I'll say this. Gonzaga is the most basketball of basketball schools, like through and through. And, you know, for those that haven't been down there, John Stockton's dad has a bar, and it's like the quintessential old school dive basketball bar. Like, this campus and this school is all about hoops. Can you try and explain to our listeners what it's like, the experience? Because Spokane is Spokane. Everyone's familiar with it. But for somehow, this school, like you said, is now getting North Carolina to come to its campus to play games.
Yeah. Yeah. In one word, I would say intoxicating. You can't help but feel it when you're there. Like, going to the games. Have you guys been to a game in the kennel?
We haven't been to the kennel, no. We were on campus, and we went to the bar. We did the important thing. We went to Jack and
Dan's. We went to Jack and Dan's. Yeah. Good. Hey, here's a pro tip. Next time you're at Jack and Dan's, get yourself an Ed Get Naked. Don't ask any questions. Just get an Ed Get Naked.
Okay.
But no.
No questions.
Yeah, you guys were at Jack and Dan's. You feel it. There's an energy. There's something to it. You can't help but smile and root for the Zags, even if you have no affiliation with the squad. And you know, this is going to sound sappy, but it's true. It's a small community. I'm going to get emotional here. It's a small community, but it's a powerful community.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just being around it, you can't help but start rooting for the Zags. If you have a brother that went or a cousin that went, if you show up to Spokane once, and if you're lucky enough to go to one of those games, it's a different experience. It's a different sporting experience.
How much has the program changed in the last 20 years? How much, I mean, there must be more money. Are the facilities better now? I almost want to ask you, is like, when are you going to have your scandal at Gonzaga and then you'll be a true college basketball powerhouse? Because I can't even think of has there been a Gonzaga basketball scandal? I mean, I don't think there has been.
No, I wish we had one. That'd be great, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
We need a little FBI, and we need the FBI poking around the program a little bit. Yeah, no, I mean, this is going to sound cliche, but Mark Few wins in all the right ways. He is a consummate professional, and you know, it starts with him, obviously, all the way down the line. Everyone, Tommy Lloyd has been there forever. He's been Few's right-hand man, God, for just about two decades now, and they do it right, man. They do it right. I don't know what to say. Anytime you hear, you know, there's smoke, there's fire. Bill Self's been in trouble. Mm-hmm. Coach K's been in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, you know, where do I begin on the laundry list of Patino issues? Yeah. But it's an excellent point and probably the best point. That is, there's a lot of good things going on with the Gonzaga program. The fact that they do everything right has to be top of the list. And to answer your question, how much has the program changed in terms of like infrastructure on the campus? I'll tell you this much. I went there, my freshman year is 2006. I would not get in today because it is now like a Duke.
Right.
In terms of there's only 45 kids undergrad. It is tough to get into. I was like a 3.3 GPA guy, you know, I played sports, et cetera, et cetera. No shot I get in this year. No shot I get in 15 years later. And that's 100% a credit to the basketball program. Like there's no other reason. Buildings. And it's not just buildings on the Spokane campus. It's buildings across the WCC.
Mm-hmm.
Like LMU gets a paycheck for every, you know, game the Zags win in March. Pepperdine gets a paycheck. San Diego gets a paycheck. St. Mary's gets a paycheck. So, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And Gonzaga has been that tide for the West Coast Conference and Spokane in general.
Jack, real quick, before we let you go, I think I know what the answer is going to be here. But tonight, Baylor, Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a 4.5-point favorite. Give us a preview. Who do you think is going to emerge the champion this evening?
Ooh, I like the over, boys. I like the over a lot.
Okay.
Zags give up 4.5 points. I would take it money line. I think Zags win. I think it's a close one. So I think if I was a betting man, which I am, I'd go Baylor. I think it's going to be – it probably won't live up to the UCLA game, but I think we're in store for a classic. All four guards, six guards that are going to be on the floor at all times are going to be running 90 miles an hour, and it's going to be can't miss basketball.
Well, I can't wait for it, and I know there's going to be a lot of people up in British Columbia cheering for Gonzaga, not just because a perfect season's on the line and it'd be cool to see, but we all know up here the Canadian content that is run through the Gonzaga powerhouse, which I will call it now. So, Jack, thanks for joining us this morning, and enjoy the game, and good luck to your Zags.
Boys, again, sorry for my voice cracking, but that's what happens when you watch a Christian Laettner game. Unbelievable. Thanks for your time,
awesome.
Guys.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it, Bob. That's Jack Ferris, co-host of the Believe in Zags podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We were efforting good Dom on Fridays, working the phones, trying to get guys in. He's like, I think we got Rob Sacre, and then Rob's got this guy that he also co-hosts the podcast with, Jack Ferris. And I looked him up, and I'm like, this guy might be the most diehard Gonzaga person we will ever have on the program.
Yeah.
And he lived up to it. He almost cried in the middle of the interview. That's sweet.
He's like, I'm on the Halford and Bruff show.
Huge.
What am I doing with my life?
It's happened before. Huge career moment for some people when they get on this program. It is a holiday Monday, and you can tell because the Dunbar Lumber text line and the in-basket, it's a little slow right now, which is expected. It's 6:46 on a Monday where people don't necessarily have to go to work and don't necessarily have to go to school. We'll be back. There's so much more to get into. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch your dial. It's Halford. It's Bruff. It's Sportsnet 650. On a Monday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Hey, golfers!
Yes, yes. Hello.
Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. Golf, but cheaper.
I want one of those.
That should be the tagline. Golf.
How do you do it? How do you order again?
Go to discountgolfcard.ca.
Okay. Discount
golf card. Do you need me to spell that for you?
No, it's fine.
D-I-S-C-O-U-N-T.
Okay, good.
Discount. G-O-L.
All right.
F.
Can I do the poll question now?
C-A-R.
All right.
Go. Poll question.
This morning's Halford and Bruff poll question. Should the Canucks even try to play another game this season? I'm a little bit surprised at how overwhelmingly no this poll question is. 534 votes on Twitter. 75% of you are saying no. Don't even try to play another game this season. And you can see why people might be thinking that. Canucks aren't going to make the playoffs. They were going to need a miracle finish to make the playoffs. And they might just not be a very good team. There's a month left in the season, month and a few days. They've got 19 games left. Again, these are going to be meaningless games, except for maybe getting some young kids into the lineup. That would be the advantage of playing. And they've got a serious COVID outbreak on their hands right now.
Right.
And of course, I left the left the biggest factor for last. And people are thinking, all right, they're just doing the math. They're going, all right, it's April 5th now. The Canucks are nowhere close to coming out of this thing. So let's say it's a couple weeks and everyone has recovered, right? So the very least, they're testing negative, okay? So where are they then in terms of being able to put a team on the ice?
Right.
You can't go all AHL players in an NHL game.
No.
And you can't just be like, all right, you're tested negative, let's go play.
Well, you can't
These
do
guys
that
would be out of shape.
You can't do that because you would ruin the competitive integrity of these games. Yes. That, as you pointed out, four teams right now in the Scotia division, the Scosh, are jockeying for playoff seeding.
Yep.
Although the four teams are pretty much locked in, Montreal, Winnipeg, Toronto. Who am I missing?
Calgary?
Edmonton, thank you.
Oh, no. Edmonton, sorry.
Those four are locked in. They've still got a lot of different things to play for within those four spots.
But do they really? Do they really? What does seeding really matter?
I mean, it is what it is. It's I understand that there's
no,
not
but
the
what
same...
is seeding? What does seeding really matter right now?
I suppose you get home ice advantage.
Okay,
you get last change.
All right,
if game seven, if it comes down to that, I mean, there are.
I mean, the way
it's
looking,
minutia. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, but the way it's looking right now, it's Toronto's going to be number one. Edmonton and Winnipeg two or three. And Montreal's pretty solidly in that fourth spot, although they got a bunch of games in hand. So I know what you're saying. And I'm sure the league, and the league for the record, has said that they still want to get all 56 games.
They anticipate everyone's going to finish with 56 games played.
Okay, yeah.
Right now.
I don't know if they really do.
Well, privately, I doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're looking at this and saying, do we, the NHL has this at hand. Do they want to keep the, as we said, competitive integrity and this being an official NHL campaign, as in all teams played the exact same number of requisite games? Because that is something, right? Mm-hmm. Even though the year was different and it was shortened, the idea that everyone started and finished with an equal amount of games played counts for things like draft standing, records, individual bonuses that players might hit. All those things come into play. But they're not at the forefront of the conversation.
So
the NHL can't pump that up and say these are the reasons that we want to complete a 56-game schedule. Yes, Tom?
I want to interrupt you because I think we're looking at this too reactionary, and I think we're assuming that the NHL is as well. Like, I cannot comprehend a world where the NHL didn't have contingency plans in place for when something like this happens.
But what I can, because of the variant.
I get that there's the variant, yeah. But you're like trying to convince me that the NHL doesn't have a plan in place for a team-wide outbreak and how
they would. But are you saying that they have a plan in place to get the Canucks all 56 games done?
I can't tell you that because I don't work for the NHL, but I'm sure they have something in place where they...
But sometimes it's just not possible, right? Yeah. Like, if we get to the point where the Canucks have 19 games left and the season only has, you know, 18 games left,
sure,
they're probably not going to be able
that
to do that.
That may be the case, but they will probably have a plan in place where it's like, hey, if we can't finish all 19 games, we can do plan B, and then the playoffs will be decided via, you know, points percentage or whatever.
Well, I'll put it out there. I'll be very surprised if the Canucks play Ottawa anymore.
Fair enough.
They got four games left against the Sens, and what would be the point of playing those games?
Yeah, other than the, I mean,
lottery standing.
And there's the TV aspect too, right? Like, don't forget Saturday night.
Canucks would be like, I'd like to get some points.
Right, like Saturday and Sunday night, those were Canadian matchup primetime game. I mean, those were big moments on the schedule, right? Without question. What you're talking about, Friedge actually alluded to it in a clip that we didn't play earlier. We don't need to play it. I can paraphrase it. But essentially said, the contingency plan would be, they've already extended the end of the regular season from May 8th to May 11th to accompany a bunch of other teams that had to have makeup games. They would essentially use that entire buffer week that we have, that they have, which goes to May 14th, cram in a bunch of games, and then the contingency plan within the contingency plan would be you, I'm not even joking, would be you would start that division's playoffs late. Because the thing is
what if the Canucks played a game against the Leafs in that week, in that buffer week? So the Canucks game, officially, the Canucks season ends May 8th. So let's say they tack on a week for the Canucks, and the Canucks are totally out of the playoffs, and they have a game against Toronto, and Austin Matthews gets hurt in that game.
That's totally within the realm of possibilities.
I don't know if they're going to go down that road.
I know. I understand.
And also, you're talking about the integrity of the game. Would Austin Matthews even dress for those games?
Perfect
right?
point, yeah. Hey, why are we throwing him out here for this one? He has nothing to gain. We have nothing to gain. You know, is he going to go out and win the Rocket Richard tonight? Maybe. But is that worth the trade-off of him potentially getting hurt right before the playoffs?
No.
In a mean-nothing game?
It's just a trophy.
Lots more to get to on this program. We'll
there's only one trophy that counts, you know, especially for the Leafs right now.
We will
And that is the trophy you get for winning a playoff round.
That's right. If they make it custom. There's a lot more to get to on this program. We'll continue this conversation coming up next with Vancouver Canucks radio play-by-play man, Brandon Batchelor. This is going to be his maiden voyage on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. He's never been on before with us. Excited to have him. That's coming up next. Brandon Batchelor, 8 o'clock, Kevin Bieksa. So a lot more hockey talk to come on this holiday Monday. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here. Halford, Brough, Sportsnet 650.